Reverend Father in God, welcome to St. Lawrence, Bovingdon.
Peace to this house
from God our Heavenly Father.
Peace to this house from His Son, who is our peace. Peace to this house from the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We sing our processional hymn. The Lord be with you.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Declare His glory among the nations. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Friends, would you please be seated? It is lovely to be here. This is my first time in this church. I've been the Bishop of Hartford now for just 2 days short of a year. So I do apologize for being so slow to get round. But it's lovely to be with you on this occasion of thanksgiving and of joy, looking forward to be with you, Charles, to be with you, Philippa, and to be with the children, Johnny and Lizzie. We know that Catherine can't be here today. She's in Scotland, which feels like a good excuse to me. Other members of your family from far and wide, and people who've come from different bits of your life, terrifying, I know, to support you. Is there anybody here from St. John Harpenden? Excellent. I thought so. And from St. Helen Wheatamstead, we welcome you from earlier on in Charles's life, from Odd Road, from Southgate. I'm told that Charles's college chaplain is present, so there are some secrets to share over the bun fight, I know. And we welcome you, Gillian, the mayor of our borough. Where are you? There you are. Thank you for coming. And Richard from the parish council, and all those representing the wider community and the other churches of this community, and those representing the Diocese of St. Albans, our Director of Ministry, Canon Dennis Stamps, our Director of Ordinance, Sue Groom, and others representing the diocese and that part of Charles's job, which is to furnish and equip the church going forward in vocation. We remember with thanksgiving the years of Tim's ministry here, and we bring that to mind before God with great gratitude and an abiding sorrow. But as he himself would have wished, we turn now to look to the future with thanksgiving and with delight that Charles is here and that a new chapter is about to begin. Stephen, thank you on behalf of the patrons for being with us this evening. And all of you who are here from this place, it is your prayers and the prayers of all of us which will surround this new beginning. Not simply a new beginning for Charles, as though you can all, with a great sigh of relief, dump everything onto him, but a new beginning for you together as you move on to be the people of God and to make the Word of God true and real here in this place as we move forward. We're grateful to Anne for all that she's done, and Lovegrove for caring for the church through the interregnum, for all those who've supported the community, for Brenda Pierce, and for your late husband, Brenda Norman, for keeping the 8 o'clock services going. We're grateful to Caroline and the family praise team, and Amanda, I'm told, deserves special thanks from all of us for going the extra mile, together with Helen, who's given time to support her. You know what you can do as a people, and you know what God can do through you. And as we pray and bless Charles, so together we rededicate ourselves to God's service. Would you please stand? In your order of service at the bottom of page 2. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose grace we are accepted and called to your service, Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of our calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. As members of Christ's church, we share in his work in the world. We are called by God to proclaim his kingdom in word and action, to make disciples of all nations, to share in his life through sacramental fellowship, and to glorify him in all we do and say. And so as we come together now to institute Charles as incumbent of this benefice, I invite you all, at the beginning of a new phase in your common life, to dedicate yourselves to the work of Christ to which you have been called. Would you please sit?
The prophet writes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to announce good news to the humble, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to those in prison, to proclaim a year of the Lord's favour."
God calls us to proclaim by what we say and do that our crucified and risen Lord comes with power to free us from every evil and sin, from every fear in life and death. Like him, we are to care, especially for the poor and the oppressed, to love the unloved, to support the weak, to tend the sick, and to comfort the bereaved, to bring peace to the troubled, and reconciliation to all who are divided by hatred.
God our Father, pour your Spirit upon us.
Jesus says, "Full authority in heaven and on earth has been committed to me. Go therefore to all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. I will be with you always to the end of time."
We are called to bring all people face to face with Christ. We are to teach by word and example his way of love, forgiveness, and service, and lead all people to commit themselves to him. In so doing, we are to welcome them in baptism as fellow members with us of the body of Christ, as children of the same Heavenly Father, as inheritors with us of the kingdom of God.
Lord Jesus Christ, pour your love into our hearts,
that we may tell others of your salvation.
Saint Paul writes, "I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'"
Christ is known among us in the breaking of the bread. He takes what we have and what we are, and by his death and resurrection renews us. He makes us one in him. In him we learn to lose our lives, so that we may take them up again.
As bread is broken and wine poured out,
renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
St. Paul writes, "Let your bearing towards one another arise out of your life in Christ Jesus. For the divine nature was his from the first. Yet he did not think to snatch at equality with God, but made himself nothing, assuming the nature of a slave. Bearing the human likeness revealed in human form, he humbled himself and in obedience accepted even death, death on a cross. Therefore, God raised him to the heights and bestowed on him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and in the depths, and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
People of God, will you renew your corporate and individual commitment to the loving service of God, of one another, and of your fellow men and women?
A reading from Acts chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what was happening throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, this passage from the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the context is the interaction between the centurion Cornelius and Peter. Cornelius comes to faith. Peter comes to a wider understanding of God's love. Professor Walter Hollenweger, who was one of my teachers, a great student of the Pentecostal churches, used to describe this story as the conversion of Peter. It is God's expanding the mind of the church through an interaction with someone who feared God as he knew God. I'd like you to hold that in your mind whilst I take you in your imagination to the Lee Valley white water rafting course. It was now 2 or 3 weeks ago that the Archdeacon of St. Albans and I went to sit in a raft and be borne down the Lee Valley Olympic whitewater rafting course. Not once, not twice, but 5 times. Photographs of this event are available on the diocesan website on a pay-per-view basis. But those who buy the Church Times can see a photograph of the Archdeacon and me sitting together in the midst of this raft with other people, not, as far as I know, professional Christians. And we're being steered, the raft is being steered by a very muscular looking and skillful young man who was our guide. I am wearing a yellow helmet and the Archdeacon a blue one. The reason for this has got nothing to do with the Church of England's hierarchy. It is rather that when we all had to jump in the water just before we started, I was such a poor swimmer that they gave me a yellow helmet, because if the whole raft had gone over, they save the yellow helmets first. The Archdeacon, however, who is a wet bob, had a blue helmet. And Archdeacon Jonathan indeed must take the credit for the idea of going down the wretched thing in the first place. Anyway, I'd like you to hold that in your imagination while we go back to the Acts of the Apostles. Peter began to speak. "I truly understand," he said, "that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to God." Peter's mind is expanded to see what God is doing and then to name the name of Jesus. "We are witnesses," he says in verse 39, "to all that God did in Christ, both in Judea and in Jerusalem." And then again, verse 42, "He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one." Charles, this is the reading set for this evening, and it is a good one. It is a good mandate for you in all that you intend to do. God shows no partiality. He is to be found wherever people are. And we are witnesses called in the end to name the name of Christ. So there we were, going down the whitewater rafting course. The Archdeacon was very relaxed and held his paddle with the strong arms of a born kayaker. I sat slightly more closely to the centre of the raft, in fact, as near as could humanly be got, and we bobbed up and down and went around. The guide's name was Aaron, and he was from Peru. He was a Quechua-speaking Peruvian, native Peruvian. And remarkably, from the moment that he learned that the Archdeacon and I were on the boat and found out what our jobs were, he never stopped talking about God. He spoke about God in a light and bantering way, inviting Jonathan and I to pray for everyone so that we'd all be safe. He spoke about God by getting the whole boat to shout the word hallelujah as we went past the diocesan communications officer, who, with his feet firmly on the ground, was filming the event from a safe distance. And as we were moving up the sort of ramp that gets you to the top of the course, he spoke about the God of his own childhood, the animist God of the Quechua Indians of Peru. He had a word for that God. The word was Yakumama. He told us the word. He named the God of his childhood to the Archdeacon and me. He talked about the strong mother's spirit of the waters, which is what Yakumama means, used of the river Amazon, used also of the anaconda snake. He went into detail about these things. I do not believe, friends, that he would have talked so much about God if he had not known that there were Christians in the boat. The fact that we were there gave him permission to speak of what was important to him. The fact that the church was there gave him courage to speak of God as he understood God. And Jonathan and I sought to respond in our own way, hard to do when your teeth are chattering with fear, but we did our best. The Archdeacon, of course, was perfectly composed and relaxed. I can't see him as I speak to you now, but I'm sure he's perfectly composed and relaxed now. 4 times we went around and we were safe each time, but the 4th time around, a young man who was sitting next to the Archdeacon made a rash statement. He said, "I wish I could fall out of the boat and see what it's like in the rapids." Aaron the guide's eyes glinted. He invited me as the bishop to pray once again for the boat. And the 5th time we went around, and about halfway down, the Archdeacon was sitting, as is his wont, insouciantly on the edge of the boat, plying his oar with great skill. And at the back there was Aaron the guide, who lifted his paddle, a larger paddle, and just caught the water in a particular way. 2 people were on the edge of the boat. The young man who said that he would love to get in the water, and the Archdeacon. Anyway, the Bible says this. Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit?" He witnessed to Christ among people that until that moment he had not known were open, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. That was not only unusual to Peter because he had not realized that the Holy Spirit could fall on Gentiles. It was unusual to Peter because after a very short time in the Christian church, he thought baptism had to come first. In other words, he had already worked out in what order God should do things. And here in Acts chapter 10, we see God doing things God's way. And so these people suddenly begin to manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which Peter recognizes at once as being authentic. God is touching them. And so he turns to those with him and says, "Who can withhold the water for baptizing these people?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. God longs that all people should speak of him. He longs that they should do so to Christians, because then Christians can witness to their faith and can name the name of Jesus. And then it helps to have water. So the guide dug his paddle into the water and flipped it just slightly. And the young man fell in. And the Archdeacon slowly, inexorably, fell. And great was the fall thereof. He went deeper into water and emerged spluttering but confident. It's all on video, friends. No word of a lie. It was a risky business for me, a yellow hat, to be there on behalf of the Diocese of St. Albans. For Jonathan, slightly less so, because he's a confident man. But if we had not been there, God would not have been spoken of. And the fun that we had together with those other 8 people would not have been had. And when afterwards we went up onto the place where you can have a cup of tea, and far from drinking tea, we were going to drink a glass of wine, but in the end we decided it had better be slush puppies, because it was such a hot day. So we slurped our slush puppies and spoke to these people who were in the boat with us. And God opened a moment for us to talk about him, because we were there in the boat, and because they knew that we were real people, and because they knew that the Archdeacon was unafraid, and because they knew that I needed thoroughly looking after. Charles, here you are in this parish, full of people who would love to talk about God, if only they had permission, The God they want to talk about may not yet be the Christian God. It will be that which matters to them, and they will talk about it if they feel safe, if they feel on their own ground or perhaps on their own water, if they feel that they are being visited by people from the Christian church, not just you ordained, but anyone who's prepared to name the name of Christ. It unlocks God talk in this nation. Otherwise, why would Professor Dawkins be so angry? People want to talk about God, and they will do so when they meet you. And the moment will come for you to name the name of Christ. Not that you leave it to this man, but that you enable his ministry to release you as witnesses, as namers of the name, but as people who are in every sense in the same boat as this culture, so rich in many ways, so poor in many ways. The moment of witness releases the power of the Spirit. And so for part of his week, Charles will be with you, you in this parish, and he will be your pastor and your teacher, and he will proclaim the gospel to you so that you might be released in this witness. But for the other part of his week, he will be an apostle of vocation in this diocese of St. Albans, so that women and men all over the diocese may be prompted and encouraged to explore their own call from God, a call which may involve them in ordained ministry, or it may involve them in an authorized lay ministry. It may involve them in deepening their faith through our discipleship courses. It may involve them in any number of local ministries, but whatever they do, it will involve them in witness and in being the people who unlock the question about God in our culture. And so I pray for you all that together with your new vicar, you will listen to the future with fresh ears. The plans you have made in the past will be re-examined in the light of this culture with fresh ears. The witness that you bear will be born afresh. And you'll hear in a moment that word afresh one more time when I say it to Charles before he makes his promises and vows. And so I pray for you all, not that you will go down the Lee Valley white water rafting course, although, friends, I do recommend it, even though I was afraid, but that you will be in the same boat as the people you know, and that because you're there, they will talk to you about God, and that the moment will come when you can name the name of Christ, and then together we will be doing no more and no less than what Peter did, no more and no less than what God calls us to do, to go more deeply into him, to transform our community into the values of his kingdom, and to make new disciples who, together with him and maybe with the archdeacon, will one day go deeply into water so that they may be reborn as Christians. Amen. We've offered to God our worship, our praise and thanksgiving, and we have dedicated ourselves anew in his service. I now invite Stephen Bowen, representing the Church Society Trust, as patrons of this benefice, to make the presentation.
Reverend Father in God, I present to you Charles Birch to be instituted as Vicar of Bovingdon.
Stephen, thank you for your presentation. Let the declaration and oaths be made. The Church of England is part of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, worshipping the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It professes the faith uniquely revealed in the Holy Scriptures and set forth in the Catholic creeds, which faith the Church is called upon to proclaim afresh in each generation. led by the Holy Spirit, it has borne witness to Christian truth in its historic formularies, the 39 Articles of Religion, the Book of Common Prayer, and the ordering of bishops, priests, and deacons. Charles, in the declaration you are about to make, will you affirm your loyalty to this inheritance of faith as your inspiration and guidance under God in bringing the grace and truth of Christ to this generation and making him known to those in your care?
I, Charles Edward Birch, do so affirm, and accordingly declare my belief in the faith which is revealed in the Holy Scriptures and set forth in the Catholic creeds, and to which the historic formularies of the Church of England bear witness. And in public prayer and administration of the sacraments, I will use only the forms of service which are authorized or allowed by canon. I, Charles Edward Birch, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, her heirs and successors, according to law. So help me God. I, Charles Edward Birch, do swear by Almighty God that I will pay true and canonical obedience to the Lord Bishop of St. Albans and his successors in all things lawful and honest. So help me God.
Charles's ministry will begin in prayer. He will be surrounded by the prayers of the church in silence. And then when the music begins to play, we will invoke the Holy Spirit in the words of this wonderful hymn. Paul, by divine permission, Bishop of Hartford, under the authority of the Right Reverend Father in God, Alan Gregory Clayton, by divine permission, Lord Bishop of St. Albans, to our beloved in Christ, Charles Edward Birch, greeting. We do hereby institute and admit you as vicar to the benefice of Bovingdon within the diocese and jurisdiction of the said Lord Bishop, to which benefice you are presented by Church Society Trust, the patron thereof. And we invest you with all the rights and duties of the said benefice, and commit to you the cure of souls of the parishioners thereof, saving to the Lord Bishop of St. Albans and his successors their episcopal rights. In testimony whereof we have hereunto set our hand, and the episcopal seal of the Lord Bishop of St. Albans is hereunto affixed, this 19th day of September, in the year of our Lord 2011. Charles, receive this cure of souls, which is both yours and mine, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I invite Charles's colleagues from the parish and from the diocese to join him here. May the Lord give you wisdom, courage, strength and love to do his will and fulfill this ministry, that with all his people here in this parish, here in this diocese, you may offer worship to him and service to all. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come down upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Archdeacon Jonathan, we have instituted Charles as incumbent of this parish. By this mandate, we now direct you to induct him into formal possession of the benefice.
Charles, by virtue of the authority given to me, I induct you into possession of this church and benefice.
Charles, I install you as incumbent of this benefice. God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. Amen.
Father, take our hands and work through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you and for your people. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
I'm glad to be able to welcome various members to welcome Charles and Philippa and the family. So I'm going to invite Charles and Philippa to come here. Come here. I begin by inviting the worshipful Mayor of the Borough of Decorum, Councillor Mrs. Gillian Chapman.
On behalf of the people of the Borough of Decorum, I welcome you, Charles, and your wife Philippa, to the Borough, and look forward to working with you in support of the local community.
And Councillor Richard Bryden, who is Vice Chair of the Parish Council.
On behalf of Covenant Parish Council, I would like to welcome you, Charles, and your wife, Philippa, to our village and hope you have a long and happy time in this village. Thank you.
And Jill Muir, who is representing Bovingdon Primary Academy here in the village.
On behalf of the staff and pupils of Bovingdon Primary Academy, we welcome you, Charles, and your wife, Philippa, and your family to Bovingdon. We look forward to working closely with you in the future.
At this point, I should be inviting three people forward. One of the wardens is away on holiday. One of the wardens had their plane redirected from, I think, Heathrow to Manchester, so is stuck. And so the lot falls to Beryl, who is a former churchwarden here, to welcome Charles on behalf of many bodies.
Charles and Philippa, on behalf of the church wardens, the parochial church council, and all the congregation here at St. Lawrence, I do welcome you most warmly. And as a token of how much we're looking forward to you being here, welcome, and we're really looking forward to working with you both.
And the final welcome comes from me as rural dean. Charles has already been to two of the most important meetings that he will go to in the life of Rickmansworth Deanery. One of them was my first meeting being led as rural dean a few weeks ago. It was not only my first meeting there, but the bishop was there too. So no pressure. It was okay. His bit anyway. But the other most important meeting is the annual clergy lunch at the pub, which is our first meeting. But we really do welcome you to the deanery and look forward to getting to know both of you and your family much better over the coming months and years. And I'll give you a kiss.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've not yet managed to welcome Charles. Let's welcome him together.
Quite enough from me in the weeks to come, so may I just say thank you very much indeed for that very warm welcome, and we're looking forward immensely to living and working here, and we've been made very welcome already, so thank you very much indeed. Now please will you stand for the peace. Christ our Lord came and preached the gospel of peace to those who were far off and to those who were near. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us offer one another a sign of peace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be your disciples. We thank you for the life and fellowship of those who have worshipped in this place, and for all who have served you by their work and witness. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks.
Father, we pray for this parish, and especially for our church wardens and parochial church council, and for all our church members in their various ministries, that all that is said and done may proclaim your kingdom and build up the body of Christ in this place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the homes of this parish, that each may come to know the mystery of your love. Give to us the grace to minister to one another, and by our lives be witnesses of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, grant to all who live and work in this community the spirit of wisdom and justice, that they may honour one another and care for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for our schools, that in them our young people may be given a vision of life in which service comes before self, where the ability of each is enriched for the glory of your name and the good of all your people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the leaders of our community. Give them the spirit of understanding, that they may perceive the needs of those they serve, uphold what is right, and do what is just, that in all things your will may be done. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for your people, wherever they gather. Make them an instrument of your saving purpose for the world, that the life of humankind redeemed in Christ may everywhere be renewed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The notices for this week. Next Sunday, the 25th of September, there will be an 8 o'clock said service of Holy Communion, 9:30 family praise, and at 10:30 a sung service of Holy Communion. The following Sunday, may I point out to you, is Harvest Festival. There will be communion at 8 and family communion at 10 o'clock, and we will be bringing gifts to give to the Decorum Emergency Night Shelter. And the theme this year in particular is we're going to bring tins of beans, but all gifts will be welcomed by DENS, our chosen charity. Thank you.
Almighty God, who for the salvation of the world gives to his people many gifts and ministries to the advancement of his glory, stir up in you the gifts of his grace, and sustain each one of you in your own ministry. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you all, and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.